We concluded last week's show by suggesting that scholarship should best be framed as renouncing our body's truth. And by this I mean what Alice Miller meant when she describes a person as having no autonomy, that they've not developed their own thought. And so we said that we, all of us who are living under class, have had this happen to us. Had this unsaid self-betrayal forced on us as infants. The basic pattern for all subsequent betrayals. And found, perhaps not consciously, that we don't self-create, but are rather systematically shaped to be servants and versions. This is what makes wrestling with it so insidious, of state. And I think that if we can expose these thoughts to enough of us in this generation, of this generation, we can become certain soon enough to overcome power's heretofore always successful strategy. That strategy being to ensure that their vision, their mission, survives each generation. That we can overcome that strategy by reaching out to each other and creating the alternative to class. 117 years ago and more, in fact, for our entire existence as humans, our bodies knew what that opposite would be, but we couldn't see, as Tesla did, how to stimulate this reconnection with our truth globally. 117 years ago, Peter Kropotkin put this knowing in these words, quote, "We saw that a new form of society is germinating in the civilized nations, and my interjection, we see now that this very notion is the core problem," and we've talked a lot about that. Continuing. "We saw that a new form of society is germinating and must take the place of the old one. A society of equals who will not be compelled to sell their hands and brains to those who choose to employ them in a haphazard way, but who will be able to apply their knowledge and capacities to production in an organism so constructed as to combine all the efforts for procuring the greatest sum possible of well-being for all, while full free scope will be left for every individual initiative. This society will be composed of a multitude of associations, federated for all the purposes which require federation. Trade federations," and my interjection, this is akin to what I was talking about in a previous show, "open tribalism." This is exactly what I mean. Federations for all purposes which require federations. Federations for production of all sorts, agricultural, industrial, intellectual, artistic, communes for consumption, making provision for dwellings, gas works, supplies of food, sanitary arrangements, etc. Federations of communes among themselves, and federations of communes with trade organizations, and finally, wider groups covering all the country, or several countries, composed of men who collaborate for the satisfaction of such economic, intellectual, artistic, and moral needs as are not limited to a given territory. And an interjection here, we know from our own bodies, our own hearts, that what turns us on, we give willingly. We know in our hearts, coercion is not needed for us to collaborate together, cooperate together, to create beauty and harmony on earth. It's simply our separation from each other that has led us to doubt the same heartbeats in all human beings. We have been systematically turned against each other. Continuing. All these will combine directly by means of free agreements between them, just as the railway companies or the postal departments of different countries cooperate now without having a central railway or postal government. though the former are actuated by merely egotistic aims, and the latter belong to different and often hostile states. Or, as the meteorologists, the alpine clubs, the lifeboat stations in Great Britain, the cyclists, the teachers, and so on, combine for all sorts of work in common, for intellectual pursuits, or simply for pleasure. There will be full freedom for the development of new forms of production, invention, and organization. Individual initiative will be encouraged, and the tendency toward uniformity and centralization will be discouraged. Moreover, this society will not be crystallized into certain unchangeable forms, but will continually modify its aspect because it will be a living, evolving organism. No need of government will be felt because free agreement and federation takes its place in all those functions which governments consider as theirs at the present time, and because the causes of conflict being reduced in number, those conflicts which may still arise can be submitted to arbitration. And my interjection here, all of us across the centuries who have had the ability to commune with the ancestors and with the earth and with each other, envision the same thing, because that is our future, and we know our own body's truth is not unique to us. It's not by accident that every time we get to the point in our life where we are able to devote ourselves to thinking this through, we arrive at the same conclusions, because it is the truth. It is our body's truth. And it requires only enough of us feeling that and acting on that together simultaneously, because we have the means to coordinate globally. We can now realize this dream of centuries, of millennia. We can bring this into being now. We simply have to know that it's possible and begin sharing that knowing with each other, encouraging the discussions that need to happen. Continuing with Peter Kropotkin, none of us minimize the importance and magnitude of the change which we looked for. We understood that the current opinions upon the necessity of private ownership in land, factories, mines, dwelling houses, and so on, as the means of securing industrial progress, and of the wage system as the means for compelling men to work, would not soon give way to higher conceptions of socialized ownership and production. And we understood also that the prevalent ideas concerning the necessity of authority, in which all of us have been bred, would not and could not be abandoned by civilized mankind all at once. A complete revision of the teachings now derived from history would be required before men would perceive that they had been mistaken in attributing to their rulers and their laws what was derived in reality from their own sociable feelings and habits. We knew all that. But we also knew that in preaching reform in both these directions, we would be working with the tide of human progress. I mean, that sums it up, doesn't it? This is our future. The question is, are we now ready to, with full determination, full steam ahead, unequivocal, no turning back, fixed, concerted effort, demand it?